Hello, and welcome to this podcast presented by Odin Christian Church. We're located in Odin, Indiana, and have services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. with our time of worship. Sit back now and listen to this message as delivered by Senior Minister Micah Stephen.
Good morning. It is good to be here this morning. We're really looking forward to finishing up our series that we have this morning, Say No to Selfie. Now, I've been watching online, trying to look and see who's posting what videos of or pictures of selfies. Some of you have some crazy looking selfies. Okay, I'm just saying. I don't know if that's a is this considered Southwest Indiana? Are we in Southwest Indiana? Okay, some of you have some crazy looking selfies for Southwestern Indiana people, but we love you, we love your mugs, and we got something special for you today as soon as you leave, so I'll get into that in just a minute, but I just wanted to say how good it is to be here with you. How many people here? I'm not going to get into too much about the 4th of July, but I will say this, how many people are proud to be an American this morning? Yes, right? Hey, man, there's no other place I'd rather be this side of heaven, right, than the United States of America. I love my country. I'm so thankful for those who fought for my freedom, even to this day, because I'm able to do what I do freely because of those who gave their life and fought for us. Hey, it's also good to know that I'm hearing good things about baby Lincoln. Baby Lincoln's gaining weight. He's getting close, right? Getting close to coming back. So keep praying for them, for Brandon and for Meredith and their family. Also, keep praying for Aaron Myers. He needs our prayers. He's in the hospital up in Bloomington. We need to continue to pray for him. Got some big things going to be happening tomorrow. So we need to hopefully pray that the doctor will be able to find some things out. It's also good to see Henry and Miss Darlene here with us this morning. They've been out and about. Henry decided he was just going to go on a spell or a vacation or something. And it's good to see him back here with us this morning. So many good faces that have been out. Family's been on vacations. But it's good to see you guys back this morning. Hey, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 35 today. Genesis chapter 35 is where we will be. And we're wrapping up the life of Jacob. Now, we could sit here and talk about Jacob probably 3 or 4 or 5 more messages, okay? But we don't have enough time for that. Next Sunday, we're going to be starting a series called Free. When I think of July, I think of freedom. I think of things that are free. And so next week, we're going to be talking about starting a series called Free, starting next Sunday morning. But we're going to be wrapping up the selfie series today, Genesis chapter 35. If you remember last week, we covered the story of Rachel and Leah. Remember weak eyes Leah? The Bible says she had weak eyes. Then there was Rachel. She's beautiful, but she couldn't have kids. Leah was not beautiful, but she could have all kinds of kids. Remember, we talked about that last week. Well, here we're coming closer to the end of Jacob's life. We're getting closer to the end of Rachel's life. And we're going to start in verse 16 of Genesis chapter 35 today. It says this, "Then they moved on from Bethel, and while they were still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. And as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, 'Don't despair, for you have another son.' As she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Benoni, but his father named him Benjamin." Verse 19, "So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar, and to this day, that pillar marks Rachel's tomb." Now, Rachel has just left Bethel, okay? She's just left Bethel. It's been quite a journey for Jacob, has it not? I mean, if you remember all the way back to week one, Jacob was trying to trick his father, if you remember, to get the blessing He dressed up like Esau, put on the goat skins, tried to get his father to bless him, even though he was not the firstborn. He was actually the secondborn right after Esau. Remember, he was grabbing onto his heel. Jacob then goes on and he tricks his brother Esau into giving him his birthright. You remember that in the second week? We talked about trading our bowls, our birthrights for bowls of beans. Again, last week we covered Jacob and the whole woman situation where Jacob was sleeping with Rachel and with Leah and with Leah's handmaid and with Rachel's handmaid. And Jacob, he's just on this journey and he's getting close to the end of his life. And Jacob, he's made a sacrifice to God. Jacob has done what he is supposed to do, okay? I mean, you would expect something good to happen to Jacob next. Okay, he's done what he's supposed to do. Finally, after so many years, Jacob is finally starting to do what he's supposed to. And when we do something for God, we kind of expect God to do something for us sometimes. You know, it's like, hey, I went to church. I've been going to church every single week. I've been reading my Bible. Okay, God, I'm waiting for you to bless me. I'm waiting for you to do something great, even though we know that's not how God necessarily operates. God knows what's best for us, right? And so God does bless Jacob. And we see this in verse 16. It says, then they moved on from Bethel while they were still some distance from Ephrath, and Rachel began to give birth. Now, this is a huge blessing, right? I mean, Rachel has not been able to have kids. Now, she had Joseph, okay? But remember, we found out that Rachel was very lovely on the outside, but she was very barren on the inside, and she wasn't able to have kids. She couldn't have kids, right? And so if you remember, there's this great contention between her and Leah last week. They're both trying to see who can please Jacob the most. One's trying to have as many babies as possible to make Jacob happy. The other is trying to make people notice them. And Leah, she wasn't a looker, but she was able to have kids and lots of them. And Rachel, the one that Jacob loved the most, is unable to give Jacob what he wants the most, which is a son. So she gives him Joseph, and after many months of not being able to do so, that important person of Joseph came into the picture. Remember, he becomes second in command of all of Egypt. And when she's having birth of Joseph, she prayed that God would add to her another son. Okay, I got one, I need another one. See, her sister had six kids, okay? Her sister had six kids, and she only had one. So it appears that God's rewarding Jacob for the sacrifice that he makes by giving the woman that he loves, whom he worked for 14 years, remember, a son, okay? But at some point along the journey, she begins to give birth, okay? And in the process, she begins to have great difficulty. And this is how life works sometimes. You know, sometimes God will answer our prayers, but sometimes it costs us. God will answer our prayers, but sometimes it costs us. You know, she doesn't know what we now know, that when she asks for a son, that it's going to cost her life. So Rachel, she starts to lose a lot of blood. And since there's no medical technology back then, you know, nothing like what we have now, right? Many women did die during childbirth during this time. So when difficulty arose, in this situation, and Rachel's older, there's a good chance that Rachel's not going to make it through labor, okay? There's just a good chance she's not going to make it, and she doesn't. The Bible says that she dies, and her second son is born. In our lives, something is always dying when something else is coming alive. Something is always dying when something else is always coming alive. But you know, in this story, something good is being born. Something good is happening, but something else is dying. God doesn't always promise that it will always be good. In fact, storms come into our lives. You all have probably been through some storm at one point or another in your life, or you're getting ready to experience a storm, or maybe you're in the storm right now. But he takes what is living and dying to bring forth his purpose in life. And if you wait till it's time to be happy, you never will be. You never will be happy in life. I have to accept this, you know, as a minister. There will always be new people. There will always be new people coming to church, but there will also always be some that are leaving. And so God bless them both, but I do know that God will never leave me. So I have to understand a little bit of what it's all about. But in verse 17 it says, "And as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, 'Don't despair, for you have another son.'" Now, the midwife is kind of giving her a pep talk, you know? Some of you ladies think back to labor, okay? Any pep talks? Mine was, I was trying to pep talk my wife, and she about killed me, I think. She said, "Get away from me. Actually, she was in pain. I won't go into any details, okay? But she was in pain. My wife, she's strong, man. She didn't want hardly any medication. She's like, I just want to do it all natural, that kind of stuff. And I was like, "Babe, you look like you're in pain. Like, please take some medicine." And she's like, "No, I'm good. You know, babe, seriously, you look like you need some medicine bad." And we're going, finally, she's like, "You better get away from me right now." You know, and I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'll take the medication," in the bed right beside her. But in this situation, the midwife's kind of giving her a pep talk. And she says, "Rachel," she says, "don't despair." Okay? Sometimes we need people in our lives to help us see that even though we're experiencing pain, God is fulfilling his promise. Sometimes we need people in our lives to say, "I know you can't see it right now because of the pain, but God is giving you what you prayed for. You just can't see it. You can't see it right now, but trust me, God is giving you what you prayed for." And so she reminds Rachel of that prayer and that promise. Verse 18, "As she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Benoni, but his father named him Benjamin." Her last words, she named her son Benoni. You know, when we were having kids, me and Crystal, we were trying to think of all these different names that we wanted for our kids. And man, here's what I did. Some people will go to the name book they got, all the name, baby names, and all these different things. "Oh, that looks cool," or "I've heard this one before." You know what I did? I went to my ancestry tree. Okay, I start going down the list of all these people's names: Abijah, Rufus, Desdemona. That's my great great grandmother's name, so don't make fun of Desdemona. Okay, Desdemona. Has anybody ever heard the name Desdemona before? Good grief! I started giving all these names, and Crystal's like, "No, not Rufus. Like, they're gonna make fun of him at school." And don't say, "If your name's Rufus, we love you this morning." But she made fun of all these, and I can remember even when I was born, my mom and dad would tell me that they thought I was a girl. Okay, don't insert any jokes, people. Okay, but they thought I was going to be, my mom and dad were going to name me Emily Noel. That was going to be my name. Okay, and I ended up a boy, and so obviously that's not my name. But Rachel here in this time, she with her last breath, she says, "Name this son Benoni." Ben means son. Ben means son, okay? Now, Oni's a little bit more complicated. As I was studying this week and I was looking in my big fat concordance that I got when I was ordained into the ministry in May of 2009, one of the gifts that the church and the elders gave me was this huge concordance. It's awesome. I can cross-reference anything from Greek and Hebrew. It almost is like I didn't even have to pay attention in Bible college. But I have this big concordance, and this thing is awesome. And I was using it this week, and I was studying what all these things mean. And Oni's a little bit more complicated. Oni can mean two different things, okay? It can mean, and most probably does here, mean sorrow. Benoni, son of sorrow. As Rachel's breathing her last breath, she names her son Benoni, son of sorrow. Now, she realizes that even God has answered her prayer. And she'll never be able to to nurse him. She'll never be able to hold him. She'll never be able to care for him, to cheer for him. She'll never be able to celebrate any birthdays with him. And so Rachel says, name him Benoni, son of sorrow. And in the moment of knowing that God gave her what she wanted, she also knew that she wasn't even going to be able to experience anything with him. You know, she names her child out of her pain. She said, call him son of my sorrow. Now, she names him according to what she's going through in life. She's going through this really bad childbirth, Benoni. Oni, though, here's the thing. Oni has a twist. It can also mean something else. Oni can also mean strength. It can also mean strength. Isn't that interesting? The same word that means both sorrow can also mean strength. And I thought, well, this makes no sense. This makes no sense at all, because the same word could mean something completely different. How can it mean both sorrow and mean strength? And then I got to thinking, what if those two things weren't as different as they appear? What if these things aren't as different as they appear? What if great strength is born out of sorrow? Perhaps real strength is only ever born out of real sorrow. I mean, the strongest people that you'll ever meet in life have also experienced great sorrow. And perhaps the greatest struggles that you ever go through is God's way of making you stronger. Strength and sorrow. Jesus, who had all power and he had all authority and still does, the Bible says that he was a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. See, it was the sorrow of his crucifixion that produced the power and the strength of his resurrection, right? And so if you ever see anyone who is really strong, I guarantee you that they've been through junk in their life. They've been through something that made them very, very strong. They've been through a lot of sadness. They've been through a lot of heartaches. Sorrow produces strength. And I hope that helps you this morning, because some of you are facing a tough time right now. You're going through some sort of sorrow right at this moment. And I want you to know that if you want to rename your sorrow this morning, you can. You can rename it to something else. Your sorrow today can become your strength for tomorrow. The tears that you're crying today might water the seed that will bring something great in your life tomorrow. I have a sad situation right now, but I serve a great God. And I know that he's in control. And I know he's going to do something from this. In verse 18 it says, but his father came in, and Jacob comes in and he does something that's borderline, it's dangerous, guys, okay? Because he goes against what his wife said, okay? He says in verse 18, but his father named him Benjamin. Well, that's kind of rude, isn't it? That's pretty rude. Right? She named him Benoni. Her dying request is to name him Benoni. And Jacob's like, no way. There's no way we're naming our son Benoni. There's no way we're naming our son Rufus. Are you kidding me? What kind of name is Abijah? What kind of name is Desdemona? Right? Jacob, he comes in and he says, no way we're naming him Benoni. You know, he was hurting. Jacob's got to be hurting. His wife is dying. And he has sorrow. And now he has to live life without her. She's the only woman in the Bible that he ever loved. Truly. Ever loved. The Bible doesn't even say that Jacob loved God. Not one time does it say that. But it does say that he loved Rachel so much that he worked for her for 14 years to get her. And I don't know if any of us love that much. I mean, I love Crystal that much, that's for sure. I definitely love her enough to work 14 years for her, 21 years, whatever. I don't know about you guys. The rest of you husbands probably can't say the same thing. But we know, I'm kidding. We know that he was sorrowful because At the end of his life in Genesis chapter 49, it tells us that he was. It tells us that he was sorrowful. But he refused to name this child's destiny according to the child's history. Yeah. I mean, they come to him and they say, Jacob. And everybody dreads this talk, by the way. When you go to the doctor, you go to the hospital, or the doctor comes in and says, we need to talk. And it's always one of them moments where you're just like, ah, what's the news? We've done all we can do. And we couldn't save Rachel. She lost too much blood. And I'm sure the midwife maybe came in and said, you know, Rachel's last request was to name him Benoni. Benoni. Now, it doesn't say how much time passed between when she died and when Jacob renamed him. It could have taken him days or months or maybe just a few moments. I don't know. However, at some point, he named him Benjamin. Benjamin. And in this time, fathers, during this time, they had the naming rights. If you'll study the culture, they had the naming rights, not the mother. You moms are like, are you serious? I'm the one that's going through all this labor and I don't even get to name my kid. Well, you do, but the father has the ultimate say in this culture at this time, okay? Not mothers. And that doesn't seem fair that the women do all the work and dad picks the name, but that's the way that it worked back then, okay? So Rachel is recommending a name, but Jacob has to sign off on it. And so people in life, if we make this according to us, people in life may recommend a name for you, but your heavenly Father is the only one who gets to really name you. God is the only one that truly gets to say what your name is. He's the only one that gets to sign off on it. Maybe it's something that you went through. Maybe someone said that your situation was hopeless. They said that you didn't have a hope, but unless you make something, you don't get to name it in life. Unless you make something, you don't get to name it, right? Only the maker has naming rights. Only my dad gets to tell me, right? You've heard people say, you're not my dad, right? You've heard people say that? Well, only my dad gets to name who I am. So Jacob, he declines that name. Now, he's sad, okay? He's sad. He's hurting. And he's going to miss her, I'm sure, for a long time. But he refuses to call that boy Benoni. He says, call him Benjamin. Call him Benjamin. New names and Jacob go hand in hand, don't they? You remember early on that God said, no, I don't want your name to be Jacob anymore. When Jacob finally figures out who he is in life, God says, I'm not going to call you Jacob anymore. I'm going to call you Israel. Remember, triumphant with God. Right? So Jacob, this naming thing, he goes hand in hand with new names. It's been a major theme of his life. And not only has Jacob been renamed because he used to be Jacob and he's now Israel, but now he thinks to himself, if God can rename me, maybe I can rename this too. So he calls him Benjamin. And Jacob, he's looking at a tragedy. Jacob is looking at a loss. Jacob is looking at hurt. And remember when Jacob went in to get the blessing from Isaac in week one? We talked about that in week one. Isaac, he couldn't see, remember? Isaac, he took his right hand, okay? He took his right hand and he put it on Jacob, which was reserved for the blessing of the firstborn. Remember that? The right hand in Scripture is the hand of blessing. The right hand in Scripture is the hand of blessing, the hand of authority, the hand of power. And so when he comes to Benjamin, it means son of my right hand. Son of my right hand. So Jacob, all his life, he's been trying to get the right hand of blessing, but now Jacob says he's choosing to call his son a blessing. Call him son of my right hand. Call that boy Benjamin. Call it a blessing that God has given him to us. Call it a triumph. God he's waiting for you to be a blessing this morning. I mean, you keep on waiting on your circumstances to change in life and so that you can be blessed, but God says, I want you to know this morning, you're already blessed. I mean, for this next week, we're going to be hearing people say, God bless America, God bless America, God bless America. But here's the thing, God already has blessed America. We live in a free country where you can come this morning and worship how you want to worship. You can go wherever you want to go because you have that right. God has blessed us. So where did Jacob learn how to do this? He learned it from Adam, the very beginning of the Bible. See, when Adam was made, the animals didn't have names yet, okay? They didn't have names yet. And so God gave Adam a job. He says, here's what I want you to do. Adam, I want you to name them, right? I want you to name them. He didn't create the animals, but he got to name the animals. You don't get to choose everything that comes into your life. You don't choose some of the bad things that happen in your life. But you do, as a child of God, get to call whatever comes into your life, you get to call it what it is. Most people say, well, you know, call it like it is. Tell me like it is, right? Don't beat around the bush. Call it like it is. And that doesn't take much faith at all. Anybody can call it like it is. Anybody can say, oh, this is so depressing, or oh, this is so discouraging what I'm going through. And it might be, right? I mean, it's depressing when your kid is on drugs. It's depressing when you lose a parent to Alzheimer's disease. It's frustrating when you can't get a job. It's lonely when you can't get a date. And so you call it what it is, or, and it'll always be that way, or Rachel wasn't wrong. Sorrow is what it is. And I want you to think right now in your life of something that's given you sorrow, that's given you grief, that maybe you couldn't sleep at night because of it. I want you to think of a time, maybe you're going through it right now. Think of something that's just your, maybe it's your marriage that's struggling, or maybe it's a family member that's struggling, or maybe whatever it is, sorrow is what it is. But out of Benoni comes Benjamin. Out of Benoni comes Benjamin. Out of sorrow comes strength. I'm not going to call it what it is. I'm going to call it what God says it is and what it can be in his name. How many people will be renamed today? How many people need Jesus that even all over the world right now will be renamed as someone completely different after they give their life to Christ this morning? All over the world, people are going to be giving their life to Jesus this morning. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's someone here today that needs to give their life to Christ. Whatever the situation is, right? I want you tomorrow to find a sorrow that you have. And I want you to look at that sorrow right now, and I want you to give it a new name this morning. Give it a new name, something completely different. It's not going to be your sorrow anymore, right? It's not going to be your sorrow. In fact, I want you to do it right now. I want you to think of a sorrow that you have in your life, and I want you to give it something, a new name this morning. Rename your problem with a praise. Rename your problem that you're going through with a praise in your life. But as Clay gets ready to come up here and play this morning, as we get ready for an invitation time, and before we let Jacob go, I need to say one more thing. Verse 20, it says this. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar. And to this day, that pillar marks Rachel's tomb. He didn't deny the pain of loss. He set up a pillar, and today, that pillar marks her tomb. It will never be the same again. And here's how I want to end this series. Say No to Selfie, 2017, Odin Christian Church. In verse 20, it says that Jacob buried Rachel, but in verse 21, it says that Israel moved on. That's the new you. That's the new person. That's that struggle, that problem, the burden that the devil couldn't take away, that person tried to get in your life and tried to give you sorrow, and you've been living in it. You're trying to move on. Israel moved on in verse 21. He moved on. Those things the devil tried to put you in, those things, that thing that someone said to you that got you down for months, that thing that made you depressed, that burden that you had in your life, that family member that was sick that the devil tried to take from you, that struggle that had you where you felt like you couldn't do anything else, you were addicted to it, but you couldn't shake it, those things, all those things, that we're going to set up a pillar and remember those things, and we'll never forget that. But we're going to move on today. Because out of my sorrow comes strength. So I thought about this morning. I thought about the sorrows that I've been in. I thought about the things that I've been through in my life. And you guys have heard my story, and man, I don't want to sound like a broken record this morning. But I look back at one of the worst times of my life. My marriage was a wreck. It was the most sorrowful time in my life. I dealt with church junk, man. I dealt with things that happened at my church that made me almost just say, I'm done with ministry. I don't need to preach anymore. I'll go do something else. But now in 2017, I got married couples coming up to me, talking to me and say, hey, what would you do? And I feel unqualified. But never has my marriage been as strong as it is today. And the reason that is God can take your sorrows and turn them into strengths. Out of Benoni comes Benjamin. So what's yours this morning? What's your story? What's your sorrow? Give it a new name this morning. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. I know you can't see it, but God sent me here this morning to tell you there's a light at the end of the tunnel. There are some that are hurting here. I've talked with them this week. Some people who are really hurting. I just want to encourage you. There are good things coming for you. You keep following God. You keep doing what he asks you to do. He may not do it the way that you want it to be done, but God will bring strength from your sorrow. I hope today, as you leave, we have a really good photographer here in the church. She's awesome. That's what I hear. I mean, everybody says she's awesome, right? Is it bank photography? The bank photography this morning is going to be waiting after when people are leaving at the end of this service. And I know some of us got to get to the Mexican restaurant because we want to make sure we get a spot today before the Baptist do down the road. And we want to get there before the Methodist church lets out and that kind of stuff. But here's what I want to say this morning. The bank photography is going to be back there. And there is a frame that's back there that says, Say No to Selfie 2017. I hope in 4 weeks our attitude towards our life is completely different by looking at the life of Jacob. I want you to get a picture taken back there. The bank photography, you hear me? She's good. Is going to take your picture. That's the new you. That's the new person that all those things couldn't take away. So if you have time this morning, I want you and your family, or maybe you're just by yourself, whatever, get your picture taken. She's going to take your picture. You got a frame back there. Man, it ain't stupid. Who are you trying to be this morning? Who are you trying to impress? My wife loves me, and she loves when I take pictures, all right? She's looking up family pictures right now. She loves me. Who cares, right? Who cares? Get your picture taken. You ain't too cool for it. What are you trying to be, man? Who are you trying to be? You ain't too cool for all this stuff. I heard some guy say, I ain't getting my picture taken, man. That's stupid. That's a girl. Go out there and get your picture taken, okay? Get you a new selfie this morning. Because I want you guys to remember from this day in 2017, July the 2nd, our sorrows comes our strength. I don't know where you are in relationship with Christ, but I pray that you would give your life to Christ this morning if you haven't, by believing that Jesus is the Son of God and changing your life. I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm changing my lifestyle. I'm going to confess Him. That's your battle cry. That's your battle cry this morning. I'm going to confess Him. I'm not ashamed to tell people that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came and He died on the cross, but He didn't just die on the cross. 3 days later, He rose to save me. He beat sin. He beat guilt. He beat shame for me. And then to be immersed into the waters of baptism. The word baptism comes from the Greek word that we use in the New Testament called baptizo. It means to immerse. We're going to baptize you if you haven't been baptized. We're working on cool t-shirts. You're going to get a cool t-shirt when you get baptized, okay? All right, I know, right? That's just an added bonus. That's nothing compared to what the water will do for you. It's nothing in the water. There's no magical water back there. In fact, it's just Odin tap water. But you're going to get baptized in it for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what it tells us in the book of Acts. We want to do that for you. If you've already made that decision and you're already a Christian, here's what I want to tell you this morning. Maybe you just need to rededicate your life. I've had people come to me this week and say, man, I really need to get back on track. Somehow along the way, I've fallen off, and I'll pray with you. I'll take your confession. You can tell these people that you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're not ashamed of that, and you're going to say, today is the day I make a rededication. I'm rededicating my life to God. Maybe you just need prayer. People come up here, and they pray at the end of the service. We'll pray with you. I don't know what you're going through, but I never will unless you let me know. Let our elders know. We have awesome elders, guys. My daughter was in the hospital, and in 15 minutes in the ER, I had two elders walking down there coming to pray with me. It's biblical. We have a staff that loves you, cares for you. I just want you guys to be aware of what we offer here, and the invitation never ends. My office is always open. My phone is always open. I love you guys. Today is a new day in Odin Christian Church, because out of our sorrow comes our strength. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for Jesus. I'm so thankful for the life of Jacob, God, that you just speak to us in practical terms. It's so weird how something can happen thousands of years ago and yet still be effective today, still apply it to our own lives. God, I pray, because I know, because I've been there, I pray for someone's sorrow this morning. When you just feel like nothing's ever going to change, it's always going to be sad. I've talked with people in this church, God, that they've been through some of the most crazy junk in their life, and they're so sorrowful. And I pray that you help me and other Christians here in this church to let them know there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and out of your sorrow will come your strength. God, we don't deserve one ounce of your forgiveness, but you love us. I don't know why. I do know why. You're a good Father. Thank you for Christ and the hope we have in Him. It's in Jesus' name I pray.